This is Attract, Engage, Grow, a Three Aspens Media podcast that provides a fresh look at how companies are using content marketing to stand out in today's ultra-competitive digital world. Welcome to Season 1, Episode 1, Don't Be Afraid to Give Too Much Away, featuring Dirk Beveridge with Unleash WD. I'm Lindsay Konzak, your host, and I'm looking forward to sharing ideas and inspiration from companies who are using content marketing to attract, engage, and convert prospects into customers. For our debut episode, I'm talking with Dirk Beveridge, who in some circles needs little introduction. He's the charismatic founder of Unleash WD, an annual summit focused on innovation for wholesaler distributors, companies that are selling things like safety products, industrial supplies, and tools to contractors. Dirk has done some really interesting things in promoting both that conference and his consulting services in general. He really embodies the idea of authenticity in marketing. He is who he is, and he makes no apologies. So without further ado, my conversation with Dirk. Enjoy.
Thanks for joining us, Dirk. Can you tell us a little about you and what you do for the benefit of our audience?
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks for having me, Lindsay. I look forward to our conversation here, and I love following your work as well. So really honored to be here. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So I'm the founder of Unleash WD. Unleash WD is a boutique consulting company out of Barrington, Illinois, the Chicagoland area. And I wake up every day, Lindsay, with a mission to help distributors rethink what it means to be sustainable, relevant, and profitable in this age of rapid change, in this age of disruption. I truly believe that we live in different times right now, and more importantly, that the leaders of distribution businesses find themselves at a point in time in their career where they are being asked, in fact, I'll say they're even being called to lead their companies into a new age. And it's going to require innovation, change, transformation, leadership at a greater speed than ever before, I believe.
You mentioned the word innovation, and innovation is kind of one of your core messages, you know, indeed.
Yeah.
You know, it's in a lot of marketing content. So a lot of people could say, well, what does innovation mean? It could be just a buzzword, right? You hear it so much.
Yeah.
So tell me why, I guess it doesn't have to be a buzzword. Tell me why it can mean something.
No, I think it has to mean something. I truly believe that, well, what I do know is the majority of leaders in distribution, you know, are wondering about, thinking about how they're going to be sustainable and relevant and profitable in the future, right? Because this world's changing around us. We can talk about those changes. And what made us sustainable in the past is not necessarily going to make us sustainable in the future. What made our business relevant to our suppliers and to our market and to our customers in the past is not necessarily going to make us relevant in the future. And what made us profitable in the past is not necessarily going to make us profitable in the future. And so the question becomes, how do we as leaders ensure relevant sustainability and profitability in the future? I believe the answer is, in fact, that word that so many think is a buzzword. And mm-hmm. the answer to the question is innovation. Innovation is not a buzzword. It cannot be a buzzword. It has to be real. It has to be meaningful in our businesses. So what is innovation? Innovation, to me, is not having to come up with the next iPhone. It's not having to come up with the greatest new piece of technology. As I did the research for the Institute of Distribution Excellence and my book, Innovate, How Successful Distributors Lead Change in Disruptive Times, through all my thinking and my research and talking, I define innovation, Lindsay, in this way. Innovation is really no more than leading our customers to a better future for which they are willing and capable of rewarding us. Leading our customers to a better future for which they're willing and capable of rewarding us. That's what innovation is. It's understanding that your customers are looking for solutions. They're looking to improve. They are looking to take their business to another level, to another place. And they will partner. They will align with those organizations who truly are committed to finding new ways to bring new value to their business, to their needs, their problems, their challenges, their opportunities, their goals, their dreams. And it's those companies who innovate around their customers. Those are the ones who are going to thrive and redefine sustainability, relevance, and profitability going forward, I believe.
Great. So to kind of set the stage, I think most of our listeners are probably in the distribution industry, but for those who are not, could you identify, you know, maybe the top one or two challenges some of these companies that you're working with are facing right now that's, you know, calling for this, you know, dramatic new approach?
Yeah. Now, Lindsay, you know I'm part consultant, and you asked me to limit something to one or two?
I know.
I am going to cheat quick. I'll go through them fast, okay? I think through some real recent work and conversations and research we've done, one lens to look at these challenges that all businesses are going through, I call them the six S's of rapid change: speed, shift, size, skills, significance, and skepticism. Real quick, speed. The disruptive technology that is really changing the way business is done, changing society, changing how our employees want to be led, changing how our customers want to buy. The speed in which the technology that's impacting our lives, everything from mobile to data to analytics to 3D printing to whatever, it's speeding the change out there in the world and in our businesses. And if we're not changing as fast as the world is changing, as Jack Welch said, the end is near. So speed. Number two is shift. Our customers are changing. Our customers have different demands. Our customers are defining the very word relationship in new ways today. And they're shifting their desires. They're shifting who it is they want to partner with, and they're shifting how it is we must interact with them. Size is number three. Mergers and acquisitions are happening at the manufacturers and at the distributor levels, even at the rep agency levels in our businesses that we operate with. And so what that's doing is it's driving a new consolidation of power. And the power out there in the marketplace is shifting based on these mergers and acquisitions. Skills, everybody is talking about how hard it is to attract the talent, not that was needed for yesterday, but to attract the talent that's going to be required in this digital age going forward. Five is significance. There are new channels that we are competing with. There are new competitors that are evolving every single day, competitors that we don't even know about. In our world, one of the channels and competition that's evolving more so than ever before is manufacturers are looking to define new ways of winning and paths to winning. And so many of them are looking actually to go around distribution today as a potential path to winning. And then the last one, which isn't talked about a lot, Lindsay, is skepticism. When you take a look at the political polarization in our country, it's driving this whipsaw, is that the word, whipsaw types of regulations, of laws, of what's going on in Washington, if you will. And so it's hard to manage a business when there's this political polarization where there's no middle ground anymore. You're either wrong, you're either right. You're either left or you're right, and it's hard to really get our arms around what's going to happen from a political perspective. So there's a lot of skepticism out there. So not one or two, but there's six S's that we hear on the minds of CEOs and leaders in just about everywhere we go.
Well, I have to give you props. That was very efficient, but also spot on. I guess you're frequently on the road. You're talking with distributors and other companies about innovation. You know, we just talked about kind of some of the concerns that are bubbling to the top, you know, what's on the tops of their minds. Can you give me some examples, of some of the innovative things you're hearing, some case studies, so to speak, in short, that companies are doing these days to meet these challenges?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for asking. That's one of the best parts of my job, right, and your job as well, is we get to get out there and see and touch and feel. And, you know, every time I'm on an airplane, I go to another meeting, meet another company, meet a bunch of companies, and, you know, there are a lot of cool things going on out there. So just a couple of them. You know, I think culture today is more important than ever before. With you know, the changing demographics and the like, the new workforce is demanding that their work have meaning, that their work has purpose. There's a company out of Quebec, Ceratech is their name. Paul Raichy is the CEO of the organization, and he is just all about the purpose of that organization and finding a way to inspire inspired people. So the systems he puts in place, the way to drive authority down in the decision-making in that organization, and to give meaningful work to the people, you can learn from. There's organizations like Blinds.com who define success as being in a constant state of improvement. And, Lindsay, this is something that I personally want to think more about, and that is I'm starting to connect a lot of dots where some of the most innovative, successful organizations I'm dealing with, built into their DNA is their commitment to the growth and development of human capital, to the growth and development of the individuals. That if we help our individuals who work for us, if we help develop their potential as human beings, you develop a culture around that, it's going to do nothing but great things for your organization. If you don't mind, just one or two more, you know, from a value proposition. Yeah. I think so many of our businesses are stuck in a world of sameness, and we have to find a way to break that world of sameness through innovation. And there's a company in outside of Philadelphia by the name of Benco Dental. And what they do is every one of their executive team is expected to spend at least 8 full days a year out in the territory meeting customers, not to solve problems, not to sell anything, but to listen and to understand. So what that means is when they go into their strategic planning session, they have over 1,000 touch points in terms of listening to the customer so that we can find new ways to add value. It's quote-unquote simplistic, but it's brilliant in the same manner. So those are just some of them. I've got others, but just some examples.
Well, and I have to echo your comment on listening to the customers. You know, our company develops content, right, for websites and marketing collateral and blogs and other, you know, channels. And one of the things I really, really enjoy doing when I work with a new company especially is talking to their customers, because frequently I hear that, you know, I talk to customers and I hear different things than I think sometimes the company expects, you know, the customers to say in terms of what they value, what their experience has been, and so on. And it really helps us shape kind of that message. And then we frequently will get them transcribed and share them with, you know, the company. And it's always enlightening to me to get that customer perspective and provide that back to the company. So that what you just said really resonates with me.
No, without question. I mean, and right, and all of our messaging has got to be centered on our customers, right? And so I just applaud what you're doing. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I really believe strongly in it. So I guess, so kind of feeding off of that, I wanted to talk with you because not only do you have some really interesting things to say about the work you're doing, but being a content marketing firm, I'm looking to talk to people like yourself who have really, I guess, grown your business. You've engaged with the industry that you're targeting through great content. In particular, what stood out to me, I guess, is your podcast, your email marketing, and your events. So you've done a great job of adding value and your personality, I guess, case studies and adding the voice distributor, like we said, like adding the voice of the customer in there. And so I want to talk a little bit about that. And, you know, while clearly you are marketing yourself, your services, and your events, most content I get from you includes, I think, something useful. And while some people think, I guess, that you should be afraid of giving too much away, especially when what you're selling is your expertise, you seem to kind of take the opposite approach. And so I kind of want to ask you what you'd say to a company, especially one, I guess, that makes its money the way you do, who might be reluctant to share that knowledge openly.
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And It took me a long time to realize that, Lindsay. You know, I think my position has shifted on that 180 degrees over the last 20 years, quite frankly. You know,
okay.
We used to keep all of our content in a vault, right? When we do our keynote speeches, we used to never share our slides, right? We used to never allow people to audio tape them or videotape them because, you know, the fear was that's how we make our money, right? But
yeah.
In today's day and age, I think you have no, alternative but to share your knowledge. And I believe in the thought process that thought leadership is market leadership. People don't want to be sold to anymore. People want to be led to insight. They want to be led to new solutions. They want to be led to new outcomes. And in our business, I think the best way to do that is to give our best information away for free. Because, you know, if I'm fortunate enough for the last 2 years to broadcast on our podcast, Innovate for the Future, you know, every Monday, brilliant interviews I've had with brilliant leaders, and I can get people to listen and help them, not today, but at some time in the future, they're going to say, you know, I need that speaker. You know, I need this individual to help me develop the strategy for my organization. You know, we really need to get our leaderships to understand how to develop a culture of innovation, or we need to break the sameness trap. Well, what's going to happen is it's going to spark in their mind, who was it that started that conversation for me? Well, it was Dirk, or it was Lindsay. It was that piece of content that did it. So, yeah, I think you have to put yourself out there. You have to put yourself into the world, into the consciousness. Is that okay? Can I say that? Yeah, into the consciousness of your market. So let them know exactly the expertise that you have, your view of the world, your view of the market, and the great insight and expertise that you have.
I love the way you put all of that. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for being honest about your kind of the 180. And I think a lot of companies are going through that right now, trying to decide
you know
what to share and how to share.
You know, it's in hindsight, it's really silly. I mean, it's really silly. I mean, right, especially in today's day and age. I mean, even back then when we put it in the vault. But especially in today's day and age, right? I got to tell you something. Yeah, we are all experts. Yeah, we all have great content. But the fact is, there's a lot of great thinking out there. And so you have to – I'm riffing here, Lindsay, so I hope this makes sense. Right? But
sure.
I'm brainstorming with you as we talk. I think we have to allow ourselves to be vulnerable. We have to be transparent. We have to give to the world, to the market – our best. And it's only when the market and the world sees you at your best will they realize the value that you can provide to them and thus reach out to you. I don't know. Let me turn this around. Does that make sense, really? Because I don't know if I've ever voiced it that way. Does that make any sense at all?
Yes. 100%. You know, my approach is to try to be as authentic as possible. And part of being authentic is to be as transparent as possible. And I'm a huge proponent of just being open, just sharing the knowledge that you have. And then those that are looking for the expertise you have will reach out. You know,
yeah.
It's a good fit, you know, because I feel the buyer is in control these days the process, right? And so you have to be open or they're just going to pass you by because they want to know who you
can
are.
Can I just add to that too? Because I think you said open, authentic, transparent. And I think one other thing is so important as we think about this content marketing and the like. I think it's absolutely critical that you have a position, that you have a belief, a firm belief. Because that's who you are, but it is such a noisy world out there, right, that you have to break through. And the only way I know how to break through is by having a strong stance of your core fundamental beliefs. One of the things we've done, Lindsay, that I continue to use is one day I sat down and I asked myself, what do I believe? And it came out to be 34 statements that I put together in my what I call my innovation manifesto. And
wow.
It's published out there. And if you want to know who Dirk Beveridge is, if you want to know what we stand for, if you want to know what is the theme, what is the thread, the golden thread that runs through our articles, through our podcasts, through our consulting, through our speeches, well, you look at this one document, 34 statements, and you'll know who Dirk Beveridge is. And by the way, you'll either agree with Dirk Beveridge, and boy, I hope you do, man, because then let's get together, let's talk. I can learn from you, you can learn from me. Or you're going to think I'm full of it. You're going to think I'm full of crap. And I'll repel you. And that's okay. That's okay. Because I want to find those organizations, those companies who believe what I believe. Let's put that manifesto out there. And if you believe that, man, I know I can help you. And by the way, as I'm helping you, you're going to be able to help me too, because I know I'm going to learn from you as well.
Speaking of big ideas, Unleash WD. I feel like that kind of launched, I guess, this latest. That's your big focus these days is Unleash WD and everything else that's spun from that. Can you talk about what inspired that? Because it's such a big idea, this, you know, holding an event focused on innovation. It's something that, you know, no one had ever done in distribution before. I mean, one could almost say it was an innovative idea. Can you talk a little bit about what inspired you to do that? Because events, of course, are another way of, you know, being open and honest and sharing and bringing the knowledge to the people. That sounded, bringing the knowledge to the people sounded kind of strange, but I think you get the idea. So what inspired that idea? And I guess talk a little bit about how that's evolved for you.
Yeah, thanks. And you know, the other thing I'll add to what you do, it allows you, even though I bring speakers onto the Unleashed WD stage, it allows me to get my point of view through the voices of other people out there into the world. So Unleashed WD is something I'm very proud of. It's an innovation conference for the industry of distribution. But it's an industry conference with no industry speakers. I half joke that if you know what the word supply chain means, you're not invited to speak on my stage, all right? I believe we've been, this is another belief, fundamental belief I've got. I believe that we've been too incestuous. Electrical distributors hang with electrical distributors. Plumbing distributors hang with plumbing distributors. Flooring distributors hang with flooring distributors. I was just down in Costa Rica with fastener distributors. And guess what? Fastener distributors were hanging with fastener distributors. And what happens is we've become incestuous, and we've stopped injecting new ideas into this industry. So 6 years ago, I started Unleash WD. Our seventh annual is going to be held this October 3rd and 4th here in Chicago. And what I do, Lindsay, is I put on stage 15 or so brilliant leaders, disruptors, and innovators, all from outside of distribution. The reason I do that, I tell the story of Steve Jobs. I love Steve Jobs, and he had a statement one time that said, you know, what we need to do is we need to go out and find the best that humans have done, not the best that other distributors have done. Go out and find the best that humans have done, and then try to bring that into what we are doing. That's what I do at Unleash WD. I know you know logistics. I know you know supply chain. I know you know how to pick, pack, and ship. I know you know how to, quote, unquote, service the customer. But, you know, I don't know if you know what's going on in the world of tech. I don't know if you know what's going on in the world. You know, what can we learn from a millennial who's leading the eighth largest enterprise rental car facility in the country? I think I can learn from that young lady. And guess what? I want to put her on the stage so I can learn from her. I think we can learn from artists. You know, how do artists bring new creativity and insights into what they do every single day? You know what? I want to learn from that. And so those are the types of people and, you know, CEOs and all that that we put up on the stage. How did I come up with the idea? Lindsay, I was in a innovation conference. Saul Kaplan has the Business Innovation Factory. I won't tell you the whole story, but I sat there for 2 days listening to speakers go across the stage, and I was thinking about the 25 years of conversations that I've had talking to distributors. And then I thought about all this amazing information coming across the stage at this innovation conference. And I had an epiphany. And that epiphany was that innovation was bypassing distribution. So I took a risk. Saul Kaplan helped me out. I'll be eternally grateful to Saul for it. By the way, Unleashed WD is October 3rd and 4th this year, but all your listeners should also check out the Business Innovation Factory out of Providence, Rhode Island. His conference is every September. It's an amazing 2 days. I don't care which one you go to one of the two of them if you want to expand your thinking in terms of what's possible in your business, in your life, and in your market.
I love it. So in terms of using, I guess, in-person events to grow your business, I guess, how have they helped you to do that and to connect and engage with the companies you want to work with?
Yeah, I think first, events, let's put it up top. Do you mind if I digress just for a second and talk about the downside of it? Is that okay, Lindsay?
Of course, yes.
Yeah, so Lindsay, first of all, these are hard. These are real hard. I personally curate Unleashed WD every year, and it truly is a 12-month process to be able to curate a compelling, integrated story over 2 days. By the way, most conferences don't do that. They have just isolated speakers, right? No, I personally curate an integrated story that can help transform businesses, and it's hard. It takes a lot of thinking, a lot of conversations, a lot of yeses, a lot of nos. It's hard to market this. It's hard to sell an idea that is new to the industry. So the downside is this isn't easy. You have to be committed to it. If you don't love, in this case, learning about innovation, if you don't love learning from outside of your industry, don't try something like this. But if you're personally passionate about a topic, about certain information that you can form an event around, by all means do it. What do you get out of it? A, you get personal learning, number one. It's my two favorite days of the year. Two, I expand my network. Over the 6 years, we've had over 75 different speakers on the stage, and I now have friends in Silicon Valley. I now have friends down in Austin in the tech center there. You expand your network in ways because you give to the speakers as much as they give to you. It allows you to expand your reach within the marketplace that you're serving. If you truly have a unique event, people are going to eventually, not right away, they're going to eventually take notice, and they're going to want to be around that energy that your event brings to the marketplace and to the industry. There were some others, but I just went brain dead, Lindsay, and that's some.
Well, that's okay, because I have a follow-up question. You said eventually, not right away, and I love that point, because I feel like there are a lot of people who think, you know, in terms of the kind of content when you're doing content marketing, when you're putting content out there as a way to engage prospects, engage customers, they think, well, what's the ROI? You know, am I getting a sale directly off this one blog post or this one speaking engagement, et cetera? But it's not really about that, right?
No, it's not. I tell you what, if you go to bed thinking like that, you're never going to sleep, right? You have to believe in your gut, in your heart, in your soul, that educating the market is the right thing to do. Now, if you don't believe that, don't start a podcast. Don't start a blog. Certainly don't create a new event out of the ether. You either believe in the rightness. That's what I'll say. You either believe in the rightness of educating your marketplace, or you don't. I think in today's world, we all want content of value. And if you once you find that secret sauce of creating the, and it's not easy. You know it, Lindsay. That's your business. But once you find that golden thread that makes you different, that brings new thinking, new insights, new value to the marketplace, over time, people will start to take notice. But you need the discipline, you need the persistence, you need the patience, and you'll have all those things if you really believe that it's the right thing to do.
I love it. I love it. I guess I want to talk a little bit about email marketing because some people really don't do it well, or they shy away from it because they think, oh, I don't like getting spam, or I don't like getting random emails because no one else does. But email marketing is actually very effective. It's probably one of the most effective channels out there. And what I love about your emails, you sometimes send several messages a month. That was kind of a tongue twister, promoting, you know, your latest event, your podcast, and so on. And you kind of approach it kind of in letter format. And, you know, somehow, even though I'm not actually the target, since I'm not a distributor, I still haven't unsubscribed, which says something, and I usually open them. So I guess tell me about your philosophy on email and how you keep people engaged, and I guess in the end, is what you're doing working?
Good question. And I'll, again, complete transparency, okay? This is the area I need to get so much better in.
We all do.
Lindsay, I do. But, you know, it's amazing to me how often I hear what you just told me. Dirk, we love what you're doing. The message is great, so on and so forth. And I'm going to be completely transparent here, Lindsay. I'm sitting back saying, holy cripes, I've got to get better at this. I've got to get better at storytelling. I've got to get better at segmenting my list. I've got to get better at speaking directly to this person about what's on this person's mind. Mm. I've got to get better at the consistency of it all. We've got media calendars and the like, but again, I'll use a word I used earlier, but this is hard stuff. And it requires a real commitment. So thanks for the kind words. I think some of the keys to it all, knowing that I've got to get better at it, is number one, you have to speak to a targeted audience about what's on their minds. People talk about personas. People talk about, you know, entering the conversation in the prospect's mind where they are at. And it's all about, you know, really understanding your readership and your customer and speaking directly to the issues that are on their mind. I think storytelling is critical in today's day and age. People don't want to be lectured. People don't want just data dumps. They want to be romanced. They want their heart and soul to be touched, I truly believe, as much as their mind. And so finding that ability to tell good stories in both long and short form, I think is critical. And I also believe consistency is important. You know, it's just like, you know, you pick your favorite television show, right? You know that show is going to be on every Wednesday at 8 o'clock, and you look forward to it, right? And if you have that ability to bring real content of real value to that individual, and they know it's going to show up at 7:30 every Monday morning, if it's really good, they'll start to look forward to it. And you can eventually start to let them know of how they can do business with you.
Goes back to the authenticity we were talking about earlier. Your emails sound like you. You know, if it is a personal, it feels like more of a personal message, including the subject line. So in my mind, I think that's part of the reason they work so well.
Thank you. Thanks.
You're welcome. I guess, do you do it all yourself, or how do you send so much content out? You seem like you're a really busy guy. Do you have help?
Yeah, we are busy, and I love it. Right? I'd have it no other way. We're a very lean organization. In addition to myself, I have a brilliant young lady by the name of Bethany Hepler, who's my VP of design, and and that's a whole other story there, right? But it's really she and I that are creating all of the stories, all of the events, and you know, what we're committed here to, and again, this is part of our getting better. As my VP of design, Bethany is really helping me learn. And by the way, she's a millennial, right? And so I'm learning from, another perspective, which I just love. And what we're committed to doing is we're committed to creating unforgettable experiences that drive the intended business outcome. And so what we're trying to do from our email marketing, for example, is to get better so that every single touch is an unforgettable experience. Are we there yet? No. But that's where we're headed to. We're really thinking through every one of our keynote speeches to design the experience for the meeting planner, for the leader who owns that meeting, and for the audience members, so that before, during, and after, our goal is to create, our goal is to design for our keynote speeches and craft and deliver and help our speaking clients leverage the perfect presentation. We need to bring a design thinking mentality so that that CEO, as soon as I walk off the stage, thinks to him or herself, that was perfect. And that doesn't happen by accident, right? The entire experience has to be designed to drive that unforgettable, that perfect experience. We're doing the same thing with Unleash WD, and we're completely dismantling the event from the time that the people get off of the plane at O'Hare to the time they check in at the airport to the time they walk into the Spertus Center where we have this, to the way we introduce our speakers, to the handout and to the manual that we provide. We're looking to design everything we do from start to finish so that every touch we have with our clients and our prospects moves towards an unforgettable experience that drives a business outcome. Are we there yet? Absolutely not. Are we further along in some places than others? Absolutely. But that's our commitment. That's what we're looking to do here. And that's Bethany is helping me do that. Boy, that was a long-winded answer to your question, wasn't it?
Well, I like to say it takes a village, but also, you know, a lot of companies do run lean when it comes to developing content and planning content. And I think that goes to, just two points there. It goes to what you said is you really have to believe in it in order to really successfully do this. And I think the second piece is if you want to do it well and you are running lean, I think, my advice to people is usually, pick one channel. If you don't feel like you can keep up with multiple channels and you're really excited, like you want to capitalize, like you're really good at speaking. If you want to capitalize on that, focus just on the podcast. Or if you really enjoy, writing a few paragraphs, every week on, what you believe strongly in, focus on the blog or just focus on social. Just do it really well if you're going to do it. And so that's kind of what that sparked for me. Your answer.
Boy, I agree 100%. 100%. And let me just ask one other thing. Don't be afraid to ask for help, right? I mean, that you're in this business, Lindsay, of doing exactly that, right? Bringing a new perspective, giving somebody additional bandwidth, being able to bring a new perspective, through your expertise and through, like you said, your willingness to do the hard work of the interviews of your clients, customers, and the like. So I'll throw out there, in addition to everything else you said, I'd really encourage your listeners to not be afraid to ask for help in developing the strategy and then also the execution of their content marketing. And I think you'd be a great place to start that conversation.
Oh, thank you for the plug. I appreciate it. I guess any other lessons learned or anything else that you want to, share with our audience before we sign off today?
Can I one other piece of content marketing? Can I just that real quick that we didn't talk about that I just came up? One of the things we created last year, which is just having tremendous results for us and our clients, is our online innovative distributor mindset online assessment.
The quizzes basically, right?
Although they're a little higher
level than quiz sounds,
It is a higher level than a quiz. And it's an online assessment that, we've identified 8 core mindsets of the most innovative leaders and distributors in this country. And so what we've done is we've created this assessment where people can go in there and assess where they are today in each of those mindsets and then where they ideally would like to be. And then we provide amazing value after they do that online with a user guide and an implementation guide that goes on and says, hey, this is where you're at. Let us help you evolve your mindset to that more innovative where you want to be. And I tell you that because, Lindsay, these types of interactive content I'm finding is very engaging and very useful and of value for those individuals. So I guess a lesson that I've learned in the last 12 months, you ask about any lessons, is how can you make your content engaging and interactive? One way we're doing that is with our innovative mindset assessment. And your listeners, can I give a plug for that if you don't mind? They can go they can go to myinnovativemindset.com, myinnovativemindset.com, and you can see what we're doing there. And it's been the interactiveness of it and the real value that's delivered in the assessment itself and what we send afterwards. It's doing great things for us.
That's great. I'm so glad that you added that on. I think that's a really good point, and it's also kind of also speaks to just always kind of being open and I guess looking at, you know, all the tools out there that you can use to connect with your audience, you know, with your customers. And the tools out there, kind of just one final point on that. For example, the assessment that you have available and other technology out there right now, for even the smallest of companies is really accessible. You know, it used to be that, you know, things like that used to cost boatloads. And only the largest companies would invest in them. But I feel like there's a lot of options out there, no matter what size of company you are. So I feel like, you know, you should never limit yourself.
Without question. All of this, you know, all of these capabilities, if it's marketing automation, whatever it is, right? We custom designed, hired a programmer for this, and a little bit of money, but, you know, it didn't break the bank either, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly within the reach of all of us.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Dirk. You have, as always, provided some really good food for thought. And I want to, of course, remind our listeners, if they are interested in learning more about Unleash WD, the website's unleashwd.com, right?
That is correct. Yeah. Thank you.
Lindsay,
this has been a real pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity to have this conversation with you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to my conversation with Dirk. If you want to learn more about Dirk and his ventures, please visit his website at unleashwd.com. That concludes our very first episode of Attract, Engage, Grow. If you have a story you'd like to share, please reach out to me at 3aspensmedia.com or email lindsay@3aspensmedia.com. That's the numeral 3, not spelled out. Thank you for joining me. We'll see you next time.